You're listening to the New Community Podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope that this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
So we're going to continue in our journey in the book of Daniel. So kind of a quick recap if you haven't been tuning in, and so kind of setting the stage. So basically, at this point in time in Scripture, all of the known world has been conquered by the Babylonian Empire, including Judah and Jerusalem. And so when they conquer a people, they take a bunch of them, the vast majority of them that survived, they take them captive back to Babylon, as is their custom. And so a bunch of these Jewish people, Hebrews, are taken to Babylon and are living there. And one of those is Daniel and some of his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we'll talk about tonight. And so here's the big picture. These people, the Hebrews, who their identity, and you got to get this, their identity is so deeply connected to their faith, to their God, and their customs with that God. And so they're taken to this completely foreign place, to a different culture that is aggressively trying to strip them of that identity, to take away their customs, to take away their faith, to take them away from their God. Now, they're commanded by God to live a certain way, to eat certain things, to worship a certain way, to pray a certain way, and all of it is facing pressure to abandon that, to give in, and to just be like everyone else, to adopt the culture they are now surrounded by. They actually went as far as giving them new names. And so if you have the time and the dedication, and you're one of those kind of people, you can actually do some research and find that their original names were not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their original names actually mentioned or were connected to God in some way. And these new names that they were given are referencing the Babylonian gods. It's like even in that, they're trying to strip their identity. They're trying to strip away their faith in their God. And so this is where this chapter takes place. This is the setup for what's going on here. So what can we learn from this? Well, thousands of years later, we can learn how to live a life that reflects our God in the midst of a culture that can be foreign and even sometimes hostile to our faith. And so we'll pick up the story in Daniel chapter 3. So in chapter 2, God used Daniel in an incredible way. The king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream and he needed someone to interpret it. No one could. God used Daniel and it blew the king's mind, got his attention. The chapter ended with King Nebuchadnezzar giving praise to Daniel's God, saying, wow, there's no God like this one. He is the God of gods, surely. But then we jump into chapter 3 and something crazy happens. So we'll jump into it right here. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, which that's about 90 feet high and about 9 feet wide. First of all, that's a lot of gold. He makes this massive image of gold, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, basically anyone in authority in some form, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, so he got them all together, and the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Okay, what in the world happened here? How did he go from saying, Daniel, your God's awesome, hey, worship this big statue? What happened here? So I think we've got to look back. So part of the dream that was interpreted pointed out the fact that his kingdom is going to end one day and other kingdoms are going to come and replace it. And so maybe that set off some insecurity or some paranoia in him, and he kind of goes on this power trip to compensate, I guess. I don't know. And so he makes this giant statue, and just look at it logistically. This is a pretty ridiculous demand he's making. There's no outline given for like a schedule. When is the music going to play, or how many times a day, or how long is this going to last? It just says, you hear the music, you fall down and worship. So, I mean, think about it. How inconvenient is that? I mean, some people feel inconvenienced when service goes over 2 minutes. You know, and imagine this. You're just going about your day. You're at work, whatever. You're pouring some coffee. You hear the music, and you got to fall down, and you got to worship. Like, what in the world? I mean, you're at a quinceañera or something, and over the sound of the mariachis, you hear the music. Everyone's dressed up. Boom, down you go. You know, I mean, this is logistically, how did that work? And what if you're in the pool? You hear the music. Is there like a clause to get out of the, or do you just sink to the bottom, blow bubbles? Like what? How inconvenient is that? But he makes this ridiculous demand nonetheless. You have to drop and worship when you hear the music or blazing furnace. So you can already see how this is going to pose a problem for those three Hebrew children, those three Hebrew boys, because they are commanded to worship God and God alone. They cannot. It is outside of their identity to bow or to worship anything else, especially an image. That's one of the commandments. They can't worship any image. And so the music plays. Everyone falls down to worship, except these three Hebrew young men. Word spreads. And that's where we jump back into the story. Verse 8, it says, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. They named them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. So they're pointing out they're doing the right thing according to their ways, but they're not worshiping your God. They're not bowing. They're not like the rest of us. Verse 13, so furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Verse 15, now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. So pause here, we've got to understand, he's actually being fairly generous here. He's actually giving them a second chance. Okay, maybe y'all didn't hear the music, guys. Maybe you missed it. We're going to play it again. I'm going to get the band together. We're going to play it again. And when you hear the music, just bow down and we're good. He's giving them a chance. He says, but if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So in this moment, he now exalts himself basically to divinity. I am more powerful than gods. And so if you read the Old Testament, when somebody makes that declaration, it usually does not end very well for them. So he makes this declaration. And in this next passage, I believe it's one of the most powerful portions of Scripture. Their response to this king, so the line is drawn. It's, you're going to bow and be like us, or it's the blazing furnace. That there's no other options. It's you're going to bow. You're going to abandon your God and your ways, and you're going to bow, or there's that blazing furnace right over there. And so I guess they got nothing left to lose. And so the response of these three Hebrew young men is I would imagine the way it's written, it kind of sounds like they kind of sassed off to him a little bit. Like this little defiance kind of rose up in them. And I just love the way they respond. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow, amazing. And so right here, I think this is one of the most clear and complete pictures of faith, true faith that we can look at. And so let's take a second and let's break this down before we continue on with the story. So check this out. In this passage, we see their faith exemplified a couple ways. First of all, they have confidence in what God can do. They have full confidence in what God can do. So if you want to write these down, they have full confidence. Their faith is displayed because they have full confidence in what God can do. This is an insurmountable situation for them, but they know their God is bigger. They know their God can deliver them. They have full confidence in that. He is able to deliver us from it. They state that. Secondly, they believe in God's goodness. Not only do they believe he's able, but they state that he will. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. They believe God's goodness for them. And last but not least, even though they're making these crazy declarations, they also recognize God's sovereignty. But even if he does not, they understand that God is God, whether he does what I want or not. They understand that even if things don't go my way, it does not change the fact that God is God and he can do whatever he wants. He's still God. And so they acknowledge God, his power, his ability, but they also realize, but you know what? But even if he doesn't, I just want you to know, I'm not going to bow. It's like this holy defiance kind of stirs up within him. Like, look, there's a furnace right there. I feel the heat already. It's okay. We're just not going to bow. You need to know that. And so after giving the king a piece of their mind, the story continues. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, keep in mind, guys, they just sassed off to the most powerful man on the planet at the time, these three Hebrew young men. And so he was furious, and his attitude toward them changed. Understandable. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, which I doubt there was someone with a thermometer, like, a little bit more. You know, it's just, a lot of times in the Bible, the number 7 is used to describe completion or totality. So it's saying this furnace is about as hot as it's ever going to get. This is the hottest it can be. This thing is hot. And so he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. So they did the right thing. They did what they were supposed to do. They did not bow. They even got in a good word against the king. They did not bow. They expressed incredible faith. And now they're in the furnace. But don't worry, the story's not over. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisor, he has a math problem here. Wait a minute, weren't there 3 men we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. The 4th, he looks like that's not just a man, that's something else. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. It's funny, he has the ability to throw them in, but he does not have the ability to pull them out. And it just says, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. No big deal. They just came out. I mean, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Incredible. But we can't miss the impact of this verse. How many people of authority and influence just saw God at work? How many people who Daniel and these three, they probably never would have preached a sermon to, but they got to see their faith in action. They got to see a God who rescues. And so, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Better late than never. Who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. Wow. So, awesome. I think he went a little overboard with that, but hey, we'll take it. So here's how the story concludes in this chapter. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wow. They stood up to the most powerful man on the planet at the time, displayed incredible faith. And when it looked like everything was lost, God came through. So a couple things that we can gather from this, just a couple observations that I want to share with you, is first of all that God has not promised a life free of furnaces. God does not promise, if you follow me, I'll remove all the furnaces of the world. I'll make sure you never have to suffer for your faith. God has never once promised that. He will, however, anytime you find yourself in the furnace, anytime you find yourself in that place, God will always meet you there. He will always show up there, always. When life turns up the heat, it's actually an opportunity for others to see God at work in our lives. How we handle adversity or temptation is a loud message to the world about our faith. It says a lot about our faith and about who our God is and what we believe about our God when we're suffering and how we handle that. They could have handled this a million different ways, but the way they did just displayed the power of their God. When people see us going through it, when people see us when life is just falling apart and they see our faith, they see how we respond to that, they will see another presence with you in the furnace. Because make no mistake, if you are in any way attempting to follow Jesus, people are watching. Some are hoping that you fail to justify their lack of faith or for whatever reason that they don't want to see you succeed. They want to see you fail. They want to see your faith fall apart. But some are watching and desperately hoping it's real. That there are some that they're in a place and they're seeing your faith in action and they want to say, if it works for them, maybe the same God can do it for me. And often it's people you have no idea are watching. It's people that maybe you work with, but you don't have a close relationship, but they know and they see. And they will see the fruit of your life. People who you might never reach out to and share the gospel with, so to speak. But maybe by seeing God move in your life, it'll spur something in them. It'll plant a seed. What will they see? Will they see you bow when the music plays? When the pressure of life is pushing you to just be like everyone else, just to fit in, just everyone does it, it's okay. Will they see you give in? Or will they see you stand? Will they see you be a little willing to suffer for it? Tonight, Tonight, I just want to take some time to encourage you. Because I believe at some point in your life, we're all there. And so, not to make you feel bad, but I believe tonight, God maybe wants to step in whatever place you find yourself. Though we are not threatened with a blazing furnace, we do face the very same struggle, the same temptation to fit in, to do what everyone else is doing. And I believe tonight God wants to encourage you. When the music plays, will you bow and worship what everyone else worships? Will you bow to the God of convenience? In your workplace or business, will you bow to the God of quarterly profits? In your heart, will you bow to the God of selfishness? In your mind, will you bow to the God of lust or greed or unforgiveness? Perhaps some of you are here tonight and you're hearing the music. You're seeing everyone else just kind of go this way and you're wanting to. You're being tempted. You're seeing what everyone else does and you know what's wrong, and so you haven't crossed any major lines, but you hear the music and maybe you're realizing I'm kind of starting to move to that beat a little bit. Maybe I'm starting to entertain thoughts of infidelity or dishonesty or cutting corners at work. You're convincing yourself it's okay. Can I tell you it's not worth it? It's not. You may avoid the furnace for a little while, but what will it cost you in the end? Perhaps you're here tonight and you've been standing, and you've been standing for a while. So long that you've actually seen others bow out. You've been standing, you've been doing the right thing, and you've been holding your faith, and you've seen others maybe turn away, and you've seen others just doing whatever, and it seems to be working out for them. And you're starting to wonder, should I keep standing? Should I keep holding on? Friend, take heart. God sees your struggle. He sees your faithfulness. And I believe tonight he wants to renew your strength to keep standing. Because others are seeing your life. You are a testimony to so many. You are a testimony to so many. Continue being the light no matter how dark it gets. Keep being the light. Some of you here tonight, you're in the furnace. You've done the right thing. It's not because you've done the terrible thing or God's punishing you. You've done the right thing, and you're suffering for it. And you're asking, where is he? What about me? He did that then. He did that for them. What about now? What about me? Can I remind you, the story's not over yet. The story is not over yet. People are watching, and I believe with all of my heart that God wants to use this time in your life as a message to those who are watching. What will they see? I want to take a moment, and I want to pray for you. God wants you to stand. He sees you. You're not alone. He is with you. And I believe tonight God wants to, he wants to renew your strength. He wants to encourage you that you would continue to stand, no matter how much the culture presses in, no matter how much everyone around you is bowing, that you would be a people who stand. So would you bow your heads? God, we need you. We need you. God, for those who feel overwhelmed by the pressure to be like everyone else, maybe they're consumed by the fear of what people might think, or they're afraid how if they do things the right way, it might affect them at work or with their friends, or God, would you give them the strength a holy defiance to stand, to not bow. God, for those who have been standing, they've been fighting the good fight. God, they're feeling worn out. God, would you come? Would your Holy Spirit come and fill them and renew them and give them strength to keep going on? And Lord, for those who right now find themselves in the furnace, God, life has turned up the heat and they need you. I pray that you would meet them there. That God, by your power, by your Spirit, you would bring deliverance to them. But God, above all else, that you would fill us with a faith that we would be able to declare, God, you can, you will, but even if you don't, we will not bow. We are your people. God, would you fill us with that kind of faith tonight? May we be a people that have a faith to stand. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. He is enough. So if you're feeling the pressure, if you hear the music playing, have the faith to stand. If you're in the furnace, you're not alone. There's a fourth person in there. So, yeah. So Palm Valley Church, may we be a people who have faith to stand. Thank you. You are dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.